Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a little boy who desperately wanted $100. To him, $100 was a lot of money, and he had prayed and he had prayed to God, but nothing had happened. So he decided to take matters into his own hands, and so he decided to write a letter. And he wrote a letter to the Lord requesting $100, and he put a stamp on it. He addressed it to the Lord, USA, and put it in the mail slot. Well, when the post office got it, they read it, and they thought it was pretty endearing, so they decided to send it on to the White House. Now, the president was so impressed and touched and even amused at the letter that he instructed his staff to send the little boy a crisp, brand new $5 bill, as this would appear to be quite a lot of money to the little boy. Now, the letter came, and the little boy was quite delighted. He got the $5, and he sat down to write a thank you note to the Lord. And it said, "Dear Lord, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you seem to send it through Washington, D.C., and as usual, those jerks deducted $95. This morning we look at Romans chapter 13. It's in your insert in there if you want to take a look at it, or if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 13. And in this section, it reminds us to pay our taxes, to pay everything that we owe to others. And to be honest with you, there's been lots of ink that has been spilled over the years about these particular verses. But I don't really think that paying taxes is the main point that Paul is talking about. Now, before we jump in, let's get a little perspective. If you've been regular in worship over the summer this year, we've been walking through the book of Romans week after week. And if you haven't, that's fine too. Not a big deal. This afternoon, you can go back and read the book of Romans in about 25 or 30 minutes. But one of the key things to studying God's word is we need to look at the overall context of the passage. They say if the three most important things in real estate are location, 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 the three most in reading the Bible are context, context, context. You got to know where this is fitting in the overall case here. So let me give you some context. Earlier in Paul's letter to the Romans, he lays out the case that each and every member of the human race, and that includes you and me, are filled with sin. It's an insidious problem that you cannot solve. Friends, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the punishment for that sin, Paul says, is death. And we are all miserable people because of sin. But God does not leave you alone, does not leave you to yourself to figure it out. While you are still a sinner, he sends Jesus to die, to forgive, to buy you back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And because then Jesus has risen, death's sting is rendered harmless, and you have been grafted into the family of God. That's the real short version of where we're at, these first 12 chapters of Romans. Now, one of the other key contextual clues as you're reading through Paul's letters that you need to look at is a particular word that he uses. In English, we translate it as the word therefore. And oftentimes, when you see this word, especially in Paul's letters, you need to ask yourself this question. What is the therefore, therefore? It's pretty vital. Now, the therefore that is in play here, although there's another one in our text, but I think the key therefore that is in play can be found at the beginning of chapter 12. In the NIV version, it renders the beginning of chapter 12 this way: therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Therefore, in view of God's mercies. That's what Paul has been saying for about 11 chapters. These are the mercies of God poured out for you because God desperately loves you. You are his child. He wants you to be with him forever. In view of all of these mercies, offer your body as living sacrifice and all the things that come after. Now, my humble opinion, this is the biggest therefore in the book of Romans. Everything that comes after this point comes in view of God's mercy. You need to have the right scriptural spectacles on as you take a look at the last part of this book. What that means is that everything that Paul says after this point is through the lens of what Christ has done for you. What is that? You are forgiven. Jesus Christ has taken your sin from you. He's washed you clean. He has redeemed and restored you to be his child forever. Period. The end. But Paul doesn't end his letter. He doesn't end his exhortations to the believers at that point. He goes on. The therefore is therefore to keep God's mercy in view as you live every single day. To keep God's mercy in view when you wake up in the morning. To keep God's mercy in view as you go about your day before you go to sleep at night. And as we look at chapter 13 and beyond here in this letter, we keep our eyes upon the cross of Christ, remembering what was accomplished upon it. And we look to the empty tomb, which brings life, because everything flows from this place. Let's get to our text. Paul begins chapter 13 with words of encouragement. Obey the government and pay what you owe. And yeah, I've heard plenty of sermons, plenty of people talking about this section of scripture, but I'm not really going to do the same today because I don't really think that's the point. I don't think that's the point of what Paul is getting to. I think his focus is a lot more nuanced. Now, I'm not saying don't pay your taxes, all right? And I'm also saying pay your taxes. I'm not saying either of those things. In fact, that's not my job here as the preacher to say anything about that. But Paul is reminding you and me that we have an IOU. We have an IOU that we have the privilege of paying. And it's not just to the government or to the rulers, it's to our neighbor. That's really where Paul gets to at the end of this, to love our neighbor. The lens of the mercy of God comes for us to see our neighbor. That's what the therefore is there for. Again, let's get a little bit of context here. Yeah, back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 130, the psalmist writes, O Lord, if you were to keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? And what's the answer to that? None of us. All right? There is a spiritual IOU that is greater than this world. It's impossible for you to pay back. But the psalmist continues, But with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. The price for sin has been paid by Jesus. You know, try asking forgiveness to the IRS, right? They're usually not too keen from that. It was Will Rogers who once said, The income tax has made more liars out of the American people than even golf has. And if you're a golfer, you know that there's quite a bit of lying that happens on the course. But sin has done even more. Sin has put you in a spiritual hole that you cannot escape. It was the words of 19th century hymn writer Elvina Hall. She expresses it better than I could. She says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Here's a point, friends. You have a debt that you cannot pay back. But because of Christ, that IOU is never going to come due. Here's how Paul says it in verse 8 of our text. No one owes anything except to love each other. For the love one who loves another has fulfilled the law. This is what it says in God's Word translation. And I kind of like where this is going. Just another translation. It says this, pay your debts as they come due. However, one debt you can never finish paying is the debt of love that you owe each other. The one who loves another has fulfilled Moses' teachings. Now, outside of the context of what Paul is writing, this can seem like another command. A command for you to keep doing more things. A command for the Christian life. But upon further inspection, it is filled and ripe with the gospel message of what Jesus has done. Remember what the therefore is there for. Paul sets the readers of his letters up by talking about paying your debts, reminding you that you are indebted to something. And then it's fascinating. He uses a play on words and he underscores the reality of our daily lives. So follow me here. I'm going to try to un-Paul Paul here, which is a dangerous thing to do. By our constant loving, the debt of love is never paid. Yet by our constant loving, the debt of love is always paid. Why? Because if we keep God's mercies in view. It's a theological tension. It portrays the truth of how our God works. The debt of love was paid by Jesus. It's been deposited in your heart free of charge, no strings attached, and you have the honor and the privilege to pass that love on to others. And you don't do that to pay off your debts, but simply to show love for your neighbors. You know, this whole passage in Romans reminds me of an encounter that Jesus has with the religious leaders of his day. They're trying to trap him, and they ask Jesus, which command is the greatest commandment in Moses' teachings? Remember what Jesus says? He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul follows the same line of thinking. He quotes the same teachings from Moses and continues it when he writes in verse 10 of Romans 13, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. But here's the difference. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not the butterflies you get in your stomach. Love is personified in the person and work of your Savior who died for you, who forgives your sins. And that love, as it has been deposited to us, has been given to us as a gift to give away. And this love that's been given to us is an active love. It's not passive or complacent. You know, we've seen many, many stories over the last couple of months of people just helping people. Whether it was the recent fires in Maui or the storms across the country, be them here in our area or in Florida and the South. Neighbors loving without asking for payment. Not asking them who they voted for in the last election or what church they went to. They simply loved. There's a story of a number of individuals who were working at a bakery in the city of Houston. At the time that Hurricane Harvey came to ravage the city, there were three bakers in El Bulio Bakery, and they were trapped by rising waters. They couldn't get out in any direction. They decided that the best thing they could do was to spend the night in the bakery, hoping for a miracle. Now, by the grace of God, the waters never made it inside the bakery, and soon the bakers grew restless. And they realized that hope is not going to be coming soon. And miraculously, the power was still on. So the three men with plenty of supplies and plenty of power decided to do what they do best. What did they do? They baked bread. They baked and they baked and they baked. And over the next 2 days straight, the three bakers used over 4,000 pounds of flour and made over 5,000 loaves of bread and sheets and sheets and sheets of pan dulce. By Monday, the rescuers finally got to their location. And they were amazed that the cases were filled with bread and about every flat surface was filled with bread. And all those rescue workers were tired and hungry. So what did they do with all that bread? They gave it away. They didn't ask for any money. They gave it away. And by Monday afternoon, all the bread had been given away to those who were in nearby shelters that they could get to, those tired rescue workers, and it sustained them in their time of need because that's what love does. Friends, we too have been given bread with no strings attached. It was our Lord's body that would be given the price of your forgiveness.
It's broken for us here in this place, along with his blood, which comes to us. And Jesus comes with his body and blood in bread and in wine because he pays what we owe. And in this meal,
you are forgiven. So we gather here in this place at this table, and once again you find that your IOU is erased.
I'm not sure what you came into this building with, those things you were holding on to, those things you feel that you have to atone for, but friends,
hear this, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had made a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
So let me leave you with this.
Therefore, in view of God's mercy, and in the sure and certain fact that your IOU has been erased, you are free to bake some bread for your neighbor. Literally or figuratively, I'm sure some people would love some bread. And in so doing, we show love, God's love, to our neighbor. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, now and forever.